Welcome to the Sunday broadcast at Lansdale United Methodist Church in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. I'm Pastor Bill Lentz. Grateful that you can join us today for this service on the Sunday after Easter. Today we'll lead through a journey through the Gospel according to St. John's second chapter and the powerful story of the wedding feast at Cana. First, though, we begin with the call to worship. Join me in your hearts and minds. People of God, arise, shine, for the glory has come. The glory of Christ has come into the world. He is Emmanuel, God is with us. So arise, shine, for your glory has come, and we will follow the glory when it shines brightly in the night sky, when it glows dimly on the horizon. We will follow the glory. We will follow it where it leads, down familiar paths to expected destinations, and to where the road is unfamiliar, and the stars above look strange and mysterious. We will lift up our eyes and look around, and when we see the risen Christ, our hearts will be overwhelmed with joy. When we are in the presence of Emmanuel, let our knees bend in worship. When our journey brings us finally to the heart of God, our hands will open in generous sharing, and our mouths will open in unstoppable praise. Let us pray. Lord God of Easter, come to awaken us this hour to the glory of Christ our Lord and his presence in our struggles. Shine among us ways that turn aside the darkness without and within. Push back all dread and despair so that we see what is truly real and believe in whom we believe. Enable us to see the creation as you created it to be, as you created us to be. Empower us to move from death to life, from fear to hope, and from aloof to love. Let your resurrection glory shine through and into this worship hour, into this day, and into all days. We pray in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen for the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to God's great mercy, God has caused us to be born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a healing ready to be revealed in the last time. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now a reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Listen for the word of God's good news. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding feast with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to her son, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Madam, what does this have to do with me? My hour's not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the people's rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So the stewards took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, he didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the finest wine first, and when people have imbibed freely, then the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of Jesus' signs, he did at Cana in Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. When Earth Day arrives this week on April 22nd, no one will be celebrating what I'll tell you now, that the most prolific entity of biology on God's green earth is, you guessed it, the virus. Virologists estimate that 10 nonillion viruses exist on planet Earth. That's 10 to the 31st power, or 31 zeros behind the number 1. Viruses are essential factors in making life possible on this blue planet we call our earthly home. Viruses inside people have both positive and negative consequences, and the negative ones are heartbreaking. We've heard such sad stories over the last 4 weeks. We've also grieved the many unintended consequences of the virus, and I mean other than the suppressed economy. I mean high school and college seniors losing their graduation ceremony. I mean Little League teams silenced bats and summer camp programs that are in danger of not opening. And I grieve the couples whose weddings are compromised. Yesterday, Kathy and I should have been in Fredericksburg, Maryland, conducting a wedding for a family who mean the world to us. Their wedding won't happen until next year. Unintended consequences. So weddings are on to my mind this morning. Christian tradition preserves one of the most unusual wedding stories in all literature, the wedding feast at Cana. Now, I'm not talking about the version from John's Gospel, but the legend that followed it. After who the bridegroom and who the bride were, who were married. The early church took the bridegroom image so deep into their hearts that a legend arose about the wedding feast in Cana, which will sound bizarre, but bizarre or not, or whether it's true or not, there is a truth in it that speaks to my spirit, and I hope to yours. John tells us that Jesus brought his first 5 disciples to the wedding feast at Cana, along with his mother. There was Andrew, who was accompanied by an unnamed man, and then Peter and Philip, and then Nathanael. They were among the guests. The legend says the bridegroom was Jesus' unnamed disciple, who turns out to be John, the brother of James, the 2 sons of Zebedee, and the bride turns out to be none other than Mary Magdalene herself. I know, bizarre. It was their wedding feast at Cana that embarrassingly ran out of wine on the 3rd day of the 7-day feast, according to the legend. Jesus didn't merely come to rescue their party. He came to call Mary and John to follow him. After offering the first sign of what was to come, Jesus called John to accompany him on the mission. And he invited Mary to stay behind and organize the women of Galilee to support the mission. Bridegroom and bride, John and Mary, according to the legend, never lived together as husband and wife, but instead obeyed Jesus' call to follow him to the ends of the earth. In the legend, their sacrifice was so moving that others left home and family to follow Jesus. What message could compel such a legendary sacrifice? The wedding at Cana is the first account of Jesus' ministry in John's Gospel. Like the opening accounts of Jesus' ministry in the other three Gospels, it discloses what John's inaugural story of Jesus and his gospel is centrally all about. And according to deeply held trust and stories from the earliest days of the church, this very day was also Mary of Magdala's inaugural story as well as John's. As both John's and Mary's inaugural stories, the wedding functions as John and Mary's way of saying what the entire story of Jesus is. The wedding at Cana, on the third day, is their gospel, their good news. On the third day's an evocative way to begin a story, don't you think? We're left to wonder about the first and the second days. Now, the Bible has books that tell incredible stories about happenings on the third day. But the Bible's most compelling third day story is the Easter Gospel. In John's Gospel, the beginning anticipates the ending, and the ending reveals the beginning. As if on the third day isn't evocative enough, John goes on to write, "There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee," in an equally evocative fashion. Weddings and marriages today look nothing at all like they looked once in the days Jesus walked the earth. Every marriage then was a metaphor for God and Israel's love language. A metaphor for the eventual wedding of earth and heaven. And a metaphor for the mystical marriage between you and God. And who could miss the wedding between Jesus Christ and the church, his beloved bride? Let me say this clearly. For many readers and me, John's gospel is a wedding story of a marriage where the wine will never, ever run out. And it's not simple wine that doesn't run out. It's the most exceptional wine that comes last. John's is more than a literal gospel. It's a mystical gospel as well, delving into the deepest mysteries of God, original creation, original sin, original redemption, and the original new creation. A sermon is not the place to flesh this out. But I'd like to at least hint at this truly beautiful, haunting, and transforming cycle. Imagine remaining on the literal level of the story. The focus would be on who was there, the 6 stone jars that could be filled with water, how much did they weigh, how high were they, how much water did they hold, and how Jesus changed the water into wine. The conclusion, Jesus is mighty. Look what he can do. It's evidence and proof. Jesus is the Messiah. Would you follow a Messiah who turned water into wine? Many would. So powerful. At the level of literal metaphor, the story is about love. The love between God and Jesus. The love between God and you. The love between God and heaven and earth. And love between Christ and the church. The love expressed in the story lasts and lasts beyond the 7-day feast. The love revealed in Jesus' first sign endures and continues to Jesus' glorification on the cross and the empty grave and beyond to this moment, to all moments ahead. Feasting, joyous dancing, and imbibing the most exquisite wine that will last all point to a heavenly wedding banquet. John says, this is Jesus' story. How could someone not believe this story? Jesus is telling us what it will be like to be with the bridegroom today and in the age yet to come. John's wedding account foreshadows and anticipates the greatest of Jesus' signs, the glory of Easter. Everything about Easter in John's Gospel is different from the other three Gospels. They place Jesus in a cemetery, John places him in a garden. They say a group of women came with spices to anoint Jesus' body for burial at dawn. John says Mary of Magdala came alone, spiceless, and in the dark. They say an angel tells the women not to be afraid. John says 2 angels ask her, "Why are you weeping?" They say the women were afraid. John says Mary was only concerned about Jesus' missing body. They say the women fled in fear and said nothing to anyone. John says Mary stayed in the garden looking for Jesus' body. They say Jesus first appeared to Peter, then the other disciples. John says Jesus appeared first to Mary. The differences are striking except for one. In all, Jesus is alive. John's account is deeply moving. Arriving at the garden on the third day since Jesus' crucifixion, a garden designed as a resting place for the dead, instead it became the spot where a dead body did arise, transforming the garden. It becomes a new Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was the spot of life oozing with possibility until Adam and Eve brought that to a swift and nearly deadly ending for themselves. The sacred image of the Garden of Eden was lost, but the Garden of Easter was the spot where Jesus' glory brought the wedding of heaven and earth. Jesus is the new Adam, who, with Mary of Magdala as the new Eve, the two spiritually wed to bring the church, the new Eden, to life. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Whenever there is a need, and Jesus is on the scene, resurrection, abundance, and new life are right around the corner. That's love. Easter makes all the difference. Jesus' love can mediate the mysteries of the divine and the human. Bread and wine can bear Christ's body and blood. An extraordinary gesture of involvement, turning everyday water into elegant wine, conveys unbounded love and blessing. It's like the smallest donation of food in someone's time of need, or a bit of money that can tip the balance between scarcity and abundance for someone lacking. Simple acts of compassion can make all the difference in the world, like a true friend shedding light into the darkest of places with a simple sigh of companionship when life is tough. With the risen Christ on the scene, anything is possible. John, the bridegroom, Mary Magdalene, the bride, Jesus, the Christ, they all proclaim God's love upon love. When Jesus is on the scene, so also is God, who approaches all of us in love. We don't come to God. We don't find God. God does the coming and the finding. It isn't that we have Christ and take him with us wherever we go. No, Christ has us and brings us wherever Christ wants us to go. That's John's story. That's Mary of Magdala's story. That's our story. Or it could be. That's the faith of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast, whenever you may be doing that. Now, right after the sermon, if we were gathered together in the church, we'd have a time of prayer and a call to generosity, to remember the work of Lansdale First United Methodist Church. And so I call you to remember that though the church is shut down, the people of the church are still in ministry, and our church is still in ministry. I ask you to drop your offerings off in the slot by the door on 4th Street. I ask you to mail your contributions in. I ask you to go on to our website, www.lansdaleumc.org, and access the giving portal and set up an e-giving account on Realm so that you can help us keep a steady flow of cash. Or make a text contribution. Put in the message bar Lansdale First UMC altogether and send it to 73256. In that way, you'll be able to help keep our ark afloat as we wait out this time of pandemic disruption. Let us pray. O God, in this season, we offer our thanks. You who know all things already know how we feel in these uncertain days. While we confront confusion and unfamiliarity, you assure us we are not alone. While we isolate ourselves and keep distance between us, you remind us that we are never far from your love. As we ask difficult questions and face hard, unexpected truths, we know in our hearts you are a wise and true God. Lord, give us strength and joy in this time. Fill us with peace and happiness that could only come from you. Show us how to love and care for one another in this unusual world that is still your world. Although many things are changing, help us to rest in the truth of who you are, the loving God, who never ever changes. Amen. That prayer was written and posted on the website of the United Methodist Church in Britain, the British Methodist Church, and to them and on your behalf, I am grateful. I have a word of blessing for you, and it comes to you from my heart on this second Sunday of Easter, or whatever day it happens that you are listening in. It is from the prophet Isaiah. Don't be afraid, for I, your God, have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you're mine. When you go through deep waters in great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Grace, mercy, peace, and good health to us all, and may goodness always and forever attend our way. Amen.